What a choir. What a team. You don't even need the... I mean, you guys are great. How many agree the band is fantastic? You guys can sing. You can actually sing. Please thank the team this morning. Ryan, Michelle, just amazing. Thank you for such a beautiful, beautiful time. Have a seat. High five someone. Slap them on the back. Whatever you do here in Marutna. Kiss them on the cheek. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are we having trouble with the computer? It's okay. Okay. We had lyrics for that song, you know. Okay. These guys are so talented, they don't need lyrics or musicians. Happy Father's Day. I'll be calling my father a little bit later to wish him a happy Father's Day. Make sure you call your father today. Especially you younger people. Come on. Yeah, yeah. I bring a greeting from my wife, Desima. She says, hi.
Hi.
And I'll be back home tonight. I was sharing last night with those that came that 14 years ago, Des was diagnosed with clinical depression. It was a long, difficult, hard journey. And 4 years ago, she decided that's enough of being on antidepressants. And started believing for a miracle, started making some serious health changes, got some medical, holistic, integrative doctor help. And you look at her now, her skin, her hair, her nails, her eyes, you can see health is beaming out of her. And if you've ever lived with depression, it's a horrible, it's a cruel thing. And it's been a long valley. And the numbness that antidepressants bring on a person's life, and I'm not condemning anyone who takes them, it's better than dying, it's better than suicide. But I believe there's answers for the kingdom of God, there's health for us. And so what we have put together is a teaching on 10 proven ways to overcome depression. I was saying again last night that 48% of society, statistics show that 48% of Australians suffer with depression. And we don't talk about it in church. We don't know how to talk about it. We alienate people with depression because it's an illness in the mind that we don't like to talk about. But I believe God is the healer and the restorer, and He wants to restore people. And then He wants us to do something. See, if we come back to the prayer altar call every week, and what I'd love to do at the end of the service is open the altar call for people who want prayer for depression for their life or for someone close to them. We're going to pray and anoint them with oil and just believe for a miracle. But listen, unless we make some changes, we're just asking God for a miracle every week. And He could do that. He's sovereign. But I believe He's given us the power to make some changes in our lives that will actually help the miracle along. Anyone here? So of those 10 proven things, Des, we're still doing 7 or 8 of those things today, 4 years later, and completely off antidepressants. Don't just go home and say, I'm going to go off antidepressants. Do it under medical supervision, says the Lord. So we're now that we're over 50, we're allowed to have rocking chairs. So for our anniversary last year, I bought my wife some rocking chairs, and I say g'day from our 5 children, 6 grandchildren, 2 dogs. And the family keeps growing, as you would understand. And I'm proud of my kids too. In the front row there on the left is my eldest daughter, Melody, and her husband, Dave. They've been living the last few years in Bali. They're like digital nomads. And their children, the grandchildren, they just shifted to Mexico because they do a lot of ministry in USA. So it's closer to them to be there, right at the beach. Behind them is my second daughter, Bree, in the left. In the back, she's a full-time lecturer at Hillsong College. See, it's Father's Day. I'd like to talk about my kids. Is that all right? Yeah. Can I have permission? In the front row is my son, Jordan. He was on staff at Hillsong Church for about 6 years as a video editor. As part of the video team that produces the TV and video. And Paula came from Norway to Hillsong College and discovered Jordan. And now they live in Norway. And they have 2 children now. They're the grandkids. You have beautiful grandkids. You'd be so proud of your granddaughter this morning as she shared with us. Little Andy on the left, she's named after me, A-N-D-I. And Jordan and Paula had a son called Levi, because Paula and her family are from Poland. Jordan, of course, is Australian. So, and the kids at church all speak Norwegian, and at school it's all Norwegian. And but Paula's parents, they speak Polish. So Levi's a bit confused. He'll like, even in one sentence, he'll come up with three languages. But apparently it's very good. Have we got audio plugged into that again, into the laptop? I just want to... Now, he's not as good as your granddaughter, right? But Levi is learning to preach. but in this, you'll be doing well to understand some of this. Is that going? Yeah? Let's just play this little clip here. Yeah, crank it up. Polish. You got that bit, all right? Yeah. It just goes on and on. Someone said to me one day they enjoyed my grandson's preaching more than mine. I said, thank you very much. Now I feel really good. Bring a greeting from our senior pastors, Mark and Darlene Check on the Central Coast. Hope you see church. The church is growing, exploding. God's just doing really, really good things there. So I want to share briefly this morning, not going to keep you long. It is Father's Day and we have celebrations and getting together with the fathers. And I hear that your theme is around revival. And I just want to encourage the fathers, encourage everybody. I've been a part of the kingdom of God all my life, growing up in church, slept underneath the pews when I was a baby. You know, I remember those days clearly. And I've been a part of revivals. And the thing about revival is that it's like a fire. You've got to keep stoking the fire. And we've got a fireplace in this old house that we've been renovating for the last 2 years. And we tried the fireplace out for the first time in 7 years this winter. And it works. Good news. You know, the smoke goes up the chimney. It works. But, you know, you've all lit fires. And you know the principle that if you don't stoke the fire, certain logs on the perimeter will go out. And it's like that with revival. You've got to keep putting it on the fire intentionally again. You've got to get it close to the fire and to what God is saying, what God is doing. And here, I believe there's a principle here this morning that can help us stoke the fire. Are you ready for this? Proverbs 25, verse 11. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold, settings of silver. I'm talking about godly conversations this morning, and I wish I had heard this when I was 20. I wish I heard it when I was 30. I wish I had heard it and discovered this when I was 40. I'm disappointed that I'd wait so long to discover this principle and really fully understand this more deeply in God's Word, that our conversations will either build up revival or pull down revival. Are you here? Yeah. That you can pull a log off the fire, it's going to go out. Or you can stoke that fire and rekindle what God's doing. So let's just go through a few things here that you know already. I'm just going to remind you and then hit on a few newer topics. Number one, conversations that build up. Let's make sure that we always have a conversation that's building another person up. Many times we do the opposite. We wonder why we're holding back the move of God, because God wants to move more than we want him to. He wants to build his kingdom. He wants to explode our churches in revival. He wants to revive our hearts more than we want it. But many times our words are pulling it down. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Very clear. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Can I suggest this morning that a godly conversation is more about the hearers than the speaker? Most times, we make conversations about us and what we need to share and get off our chest. Would you agree? The NIV translates it this way. It says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful. Someone say helpful. Yeah. For building others up. According to what? According to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Wow. See, a godly conversation. I believe we can lift our conversations to a new level in the name of Jesus that really is about benefiting those who listen. Number two, conversations that produce life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know that verse. Let's always bring life. You create. God is life. God is the author of life. Let's make sure that out of our mouth, we bring life to our families. Dads, on Father's Day, I know it's about you, but I want you to do something today. Fathers, encourage your children today. If one of your kids are not at home and they don't call you, you call them. Bring life. Don't go into rejection mode. Say, my kids don't love me. You haven't got my kids. You know, you reach out to them. Bring a word of life to them. My father is 80. He's always, every time I see him or he calls me up, he says, son, you're prospering in everything that God has called you to. Like, he's just bringing words of life. We can't help but succeed. And then, you know, my father prays over my children. Prays over us, his children, and my children, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren every day. Names them by name. There's life. Come on, there's life in your mouth. There's life in your prayer. Proverbs 18:20 says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips shall he be filled. Then look at this, the very next verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Then, the very next verse, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Look at the context here. 1 minute, he's talking about food. Yes, come on, guys. Yes. Hope you had a good breakfast this morning. Hope you're going to have a good lunch. Food, you know. Men like food, don't we? Okay, a couple. You can tell. We just like our food. So, you know, what you put in comes out. Health specialists will say, nutritionists say, that you become what you eat. If you live on Big Macs, you'll be a Big Mac, you know. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So put some good stuff in there. Can I encourage you, fathers, men? Be the one in your family who's absorbing the Word of God. Go after the Word of God. Like, dig for the Word of God. Find some revelation for your family. And I was sharing a verse with the team yesterday about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And when I discovered the original translation of that from the Paleo Hebrew, which is my supplier of everything I need, is as close to me as the air I breathe, I'm going to stop and become aware of you, hallowed be your name. I brought that word to my wife and shared it with her. Come on, there's life. Come on, husbands. Come on, fathers. There's life. Bring life to your family. Get the life of God's word. So what you feed on is going to come out. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So if you feed on death, that will come out of you. And then relationships. Can I encourage you today, bring some life to your relationships. If you don't feel there is much life, find some life. Find an encouraging word. Find something you like about that person that you're in close relationship with. Encourage. Would you do that for me? Like, let's make today, Father's Day, a day of life-giving. What do you think? Good plan? You see, James chapter 3, verse 9 says, with our tongue, we praise the Lord and Father. And with the same tongue, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Can I say something? This is a beautiful worship session this morning we had. But listen, if our words beyond this ceremony of praising God together don't line up with that, this is empty, shallow, and it makes God feel sick. He said, you praise the Lord 1 minute, next minute you curse other people. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Like, we don't want just want a revival that lasts for a week. We want to stay in revival. Like, you, and the words of your mouth are either going to build it up or break it down. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can fig tree bear olives? Can grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Unless you've got a very, very expensive desalination. Number three, every word counts. Come on, every word. Not just sentences, not just phrases and conversation, but every word. Every single word. And my wife is helping. We've been married for this year for 35 years, next month. And she's helping me with my conversation. Because sometimes even the tone of a word makes it come out wrong, doesn't it? You can say the same word different ways. Every word and the tone of that word counts. Matthew 12, 37. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. The Message Bible translates it a bit more potently. It says, your minds are like a snake pit. How do you suppose that what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. What did you really mean? A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back and haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can be your damnation. Is anyone here this morning? I'm moving quickly. Number four, truthful conversations. That's a good thought. What a good thought. That we as followers of Christ that are walking with Jesus, becoming more like him every day, that the first thing that comes out of our mouth is truth. Don't lie about being late for an event because it was the traffic lights in Shepparton that held me up. Just say I was disorganized. I'm running late. I'm sorry. I'll endeavor not to do it again. Like, just take responsibility. Just be truthful. Ephesians 4:25, therefore each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Colossians 3:8 says, but now you must rid yourselves of these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. You see, when you get angry, scientists have actually now measured this. When you get angry, you typically lose 25% of your IQ. The average IQ in Australia is 97 to 100. I know it's probably higher in Shepparton, but the average IQ Australia-wide is around 100. And when you get angry or full of rage, the blood leaves your brain and goes to your major muscles, ready for action. Like, bam, I'm ready. And if you lose 25% of that IQ, you're down to around 75. Well, 70 is the beginning of mental retardation. You are 5% from speaking and acting mentally retarded. I don't know many people that were full of rage and full of anger and really proud about what they said in that moment. Like, I was cool. I was good. You should have seen me and heard me. It was amazing. No wonder the Bible says be slow to anger. Be careful. If you're going to get angry, don't sin. Like, you know, you really don't have much control over that thing. It says, put away filthy language from your lips. When, church, when did it become okay to swear? All around this nation, around the world, I hear Christians swearing like it's just okay. Why do we settle for a few cheap gutter words to describe how we're feeling? Haven't we got a grasp of the English language? There is 1,028,808.8 words in the English language. 1,028,808.8 words in the English language. Learn a few new ones. I don't know what the point eight is, but... like, learn some more adjectives, please, to describe how you're feeling. Are you here? Come on, church. We're called to have a language that reflects the kingdom of God and eternity, the creator of the heavens and the universe who lives inside of us. That's the language that should be coming out of us. We shouldn't even need a scripture like this to remind us. Stop it. And listen, don't be God's great rebuker. Say, oh, you swore, you know, and start tearing each other down. Say, hey, you know, can we just lift our language a bit? You know, be kind, be nice to each other. Let's maybe, you know, I would feel happy if we didn't use that word. Like, don't be God's big rebuker, all right? Or it's just as bad as the other person. Then it says, do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices. Matthew 5:37 says, all you need to simply say is yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. How would it be if we made an agreement with Ryan and our conversations and our phone conversations and emails that are going to come down this weekend, the first week in September, and then a few days before I said, listen, you know, I can't really make it. I'd rather stay home and go to the beach. You know, that wouldn't go down too well. Like, let your yes be. Don't say you're going to invite someone over for a barbecue and never invite them. That, hey, we're going to catch you for coffee one day. Do it. Some of you got some following up to do on some of those yeses that you gave. Are you here in the house? People who tell white lies soon become colorblind. Number five, speak God's word. Let his word come out of you. If it's in you, it will come out. Now, don't let it come out in a condemning way. That's not God. That's not the kindness of God to be harsh and God's big corrector. God is kinder than what we think he is. And we really want to reflect the compassion and graciousness of God. The word of God will come out of us in a very kind and a gentle way. Speak God's word. If anyone speaks, 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I was in a church, a significant city in our nation, and there's a couple of churches that I visited in that town. And as I flew into town, the two senior pastors from that town were having a war, a text war back and forth. And I was caught up in the middle because I knew both of them. And I'm hearing this and blah, 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 and going on. And you stole this person from my church and blah, blah. It's all going on. Finally, one of the pastors came back and texted the pastor that I was with. I'm not taking sides on this, by the way. He said, God's given me a word for you, brother. By their fruits, you will know them. And I'm just laughing. I'm thinking, yeah, by your fruit, we know you too. The very word that we pull out against someone else is a double-edged sword, man. It's coming back to cut you up. So be careful how you use the word of God. Use it in your situation. Don't use it against someone else. Is anyone here today? Exodus 4:12. Now go. I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say. All right, number six. Crucial conversations. What's a crucial conversation? Thank you for asking that question. They're casual interactions that we have daily, but at any moment they can turn crucial. It's a conversation where opinions vary. Anyone had one of those? Coming up with the balcony. Who's had a conversation where you've had a vary of opinions? Two people, okay, two honest, three, four. okay, an argument. If you haven't had an argument, you should have one. A godly argument. I want to show you here in just a few seconds before we close about this godly argument. Can we do that? A conversation where the stakes are high. That's what we're talking about. Like it's actually really important. It arises out of nowhere many times. You don't plan it. It just happens. A conversation where emotions run high. Anyone have one of those? Yeah. A conversation is where the outcome affects. It's so important. The outcome affects the quality of your life. When it matters most, we seem to be at our worst when it comes to crucial conversations. Matthew 18:15 says, when your brother or sister sins against you, go and tell the whole church about it. Is that what it says? No. It says, go and speak to them alone. Work it out between you. You know what the Word of God says about that. But many people don't live that. They tell everyone else before the one they should work it out with. Let's do it God's way, especially when it comes to crucial conversations. Now, when I discovered this, I started to repent. It's like, out of the 35 years that we've been married, I would say of 33 of them, I haven't done crucial conversations well at all. And I'm skipping a whole lot here. I'm just jumping to the important part. A crucial conversation is the ability to talk openly. Everyone say openly. Safely. And honestly. Look at that. Openly, safely, and honestly about high stakes, emotional, and controversial issues. It's the ability to hold a crucial conversation involving politically controversial, risky opinions with, look at this, without becoming defensive or angry. God help us with our crucial conversations that take us by surprise. The ones that you plan, you can usually have a little bit more self-control in, but the ones that take you by surprise, we're usually not ready to handle it. But I want to tell you, God's given us His Word. Are you ready for this? James chapter 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen. Come on, click your fingers with me and do this. Quick to listen. Because you know what we are? We're slow to listen. We hear someone get half a sentence out of their mouth and we cut them off thinking we know what they're going to say. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Pastor, would you come and help me with this? Would you stand here by me? You see, jumping to the right to the chase here, a crucial conversation, we either tend to go silent or violent. You're one or the other. Let's pretend you're the violent one and I'm the silent one. That's probably not the case. But it's about, look at this. We're going to close with this. I want you to get this. And I believe the grace of God will help us with this. It's like there's a pool in front of us. And so far this weekend, we've had several conversations. And you put a bit into the pool. And then I put a bit into the pool. And we kind of chat back and forth. Sometimes someone puts something into the pool that's crucial. And we go, ooh. We're going to react one or two ways. We're either going to go violent. Now, violent is a bit aggressive in its sound, but it's not. It rhymes, okay? Silent, violent. And I'm the silent one. So what silent does is withdraws from the pool. So, well, I'm just not going to put anything more in there because, whoa, that's rough. And the violent one, just pretend that you're violent. You start to push stuff and force stuff. Do that for me. Just push this conversation. Like, force it. It's going to happen. You tell. Yeah, just, yeah. Well done. And notice that most guys, we talk at about 45 degrees. We never talk like this. It's like, that's weird. That's what ladies do. All right. Can I suggest, here's what I thought. I thought being a silent one was more spiritual. The Bible says be slow to speak, but you've got to speak. Doesn't mean you withdraw. So for 33 years of our 35 years of being married, whenever we had a crucial conversation, I'm being very vulnerable with you this morning. Whenever we had a crucial conversation, I would withdraw and become silent. And I've discovered that's just as abusive as being violent. Is anyone in the house today? Who is a little bit like me? Who can put their hand up and say, you're kind of like the silent one when it comes to a crucial conversation? Yeah. And who on the other hand would be more the violent kind when like put your hand up high? Yeah, that's usually the way. I figured that might be the way. That's why we're joking with it here, because that's the same way. Now listen, a whole bunch of you didn't put your hand up at all. You're the number fours, the liars. Who are the silent ones when it comes to a crucial conversation? Put your hand up high. Who tends to be more the violent kind when you... There we go. We found a few more. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Now, listen to this. This is where we need the grace of God. When I realized this, I came up with my own little kinesthetic, so we can do it together. You slap your face like this. All the silent ones, right? Silent ones. Slap your face and say this. Stay in the conversation. And again, come on. Stay in the conversation. Now, I know the violent ones want you to slap your face a bit harder, so do it one more time. Stay in the conversation. By the grace of God, you will stay in the conversation. Because by not staying in the conversation is abusive. Christians, let's stop abusing our partners. Around 2 years ago, my wife said to me, what are you doing? Like when we're having a crucial one. Like... And I said that to her. I said, honey, I'm staying in the conversation. I'm just, many times, men, we don't have any words. We just, find something to say and stay in the conversation. And all the violent ones, come on, help me out. Hit your forehead, come on. Do this with me. Start softly. Come on, come on. All the violent ones, start softly. And again, come on, come on. Start. See, you're going to remember this sermon by the kinesthetics. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Let's, with the grace of God, with the help of God, come on, we need the Holy Spirit to help us and remind us of these things. Some of us need to just, instead of starting up here, listen, I got so much I want to share, but you can get the CD, all right? The complete version of this is on the CD. Look at this. I want to get this to you. Here we go. No, that's not the one. Here we go. 93%, look at this. This is research, the most extensive research done into relationships on earth, right? In the history of mankind, we're talking about decades of not just checking people out, scientific research. Dr. John Gottman, he says, research shows that 93% of arguments, crucial conversations, that begin with a harsh startup, they start up here, end badly with little or no resolution. How much longer are we going to keep doing it our way when the Bible already says a soft answer turns away wrath? A soft startup ensures someone going, nudge. You're like, are you hearing what? Do it gently. A soft startup turns away wrath. Can we stand together this morning? Stay with me, Pastor. I'm going to hand right over to you. Can we stand together? Someone breathe. I just wish we had more time for the Word of God here today. I'm going to give away some CDs. This is part of a set, by the way, three-part set here. Godly conversations, godly mindsets, godly habits. The godly mindsets, 10 proven ways to overcome depression, is as part of this pack. And it's potently powerful. As we close and as we close in prayer, the most stressed out person here today needs to get this one, Space and Time, Instrumental Relaxation. Who would like that? Who would need some of that? Don't play it while you drive. We've got our latest album, Worship Encounter 3. If you enjoy the harp and the flutes and all those instruments, the dulcimer, it's all on here, live worship. Who would like some up-tempo worship? Sister over here, would you take it back to her for me? There we go. The Highland Call CD. By the way, in the harp CD, you can get the pack of them, the pack of three for $30. Good deal. If you haven't got a Father's Day present, panic. If you want to learn the piano, get a piano DVD, how to play piano and worship. We need more piano players in worship, right? Can we pray together about this whole thing of godly conversations? Would you put your hands out in front of you? As it's just a sign of openness. That's all it is. It's like open palms. It's just a vulnerability before the Lord. Because if you be honest, we're all in the same boat. And we're learning this. Holy Spirit, we just ask today you would help us with our conversations. Especially the crucial ones, Lord, that take us by surprise and are important to us. And the amount of times that we blow it. And I just ask that Jesus, you live in us, that you'd be great and you'd be strong within us. And you remind us, Lord, of how to stay in the conversation if we tend to be silent, if we tend to withdraw to protect ourselves. Lord, help us to stay. By the grace of God, we will stay in the conversation. And Lord, those that tend to get harsh and start loudly or aggressively, Lord, help them to start gently and softly, Lord. Help us to keep that soft answer and that soft response going, Lord. Let's live by your word. I thank you for revival, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you want to continue reviving our hearts and reviving this nation. And Lord, help us to be a part of that with our words, with our conversations. Godly conversations. We bless you. We love you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.